see the mic, Marcus Garvey, Henry Louis Gates.
Rhetoric doctoral student Kendra Bryant read her work, We Be Theorizing, that catalogs accomplishments of people who paved the way for Obama's election. Dawood Sultan is an assistant professor in the Departments of Africana Studies and Health Policy and Management. He outlined several of the problems facing the country as Obama gets ready to enter the White House, including wars, the economy, and the health care crisis. But Sultan cautioned against unreasonable expectations for immediate improvement.
The quantity of change is what matters to me. Change could be slow, it could be radical. What the president has inherited requires not just simple change, it requires radical change. The question is this country ready for that? Or does the American populace has the stomach for radical change? Two problems. The U.S. is too big. As government, it's just a huge behemoth, which is highly unlikely to move quick. And that is one concern that I have. Two, people are frightened of change.
Edward Kesey is an assistant professor in the Department of Africana Studies and also warned that radical changes are not likely. Not because of the timidity of the American people, Kesey said, but rather because of the mainstream philosophy of Obama himself, at least when it comes to relations with other countries.
In fact, the president-elect's foreign policy principles are orthodox and not transformative at all. That is to say that the president-elect will be committed to the pursuit of broader American foreign policy principles whose genealogy can actually be traced to Theodore Roosevelt in 1910.
Kesey said that U.S. foreign policy currently focuses on just a few countries such as Israel, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and North Korea. This means that Barack Obama would not place much policy emphasis on the continent of Africa, Kesey said.
For 22 months of campaigning, the word Africa never even cropped up. And in the enunciation of the broader ideas, principles, and assumptions that will guide the president-elect's international affairs, Africa has been absent.
The discussion was moderated by WMNF News and Public Affairs Director Rob Lori. Eric Duke is an assistant professor in the Department of Africana Studies. He disputed claims by some that the election of a black president means that there's no longer racism in America.
While Obama's election does represent a serious challenge to the history of the U.S. in regards to race, I don't think it's wise to go as far as to claim we are now in a post-racial America. He may be the first step, but we have a very long road to go. In fact, I worry at times about conservatives and many other white Americans claiming that now that he's the president, that the civil rights struggle is over. And so I think we have to be very leery of that and fight against that challenge. We cannot allow his presidency to be used as an excuse to say, you got a black president, shut up now.
During the roundtable discussion, there was also a focus on how Obama would address the nation's education crisis. Kristen Kausen, an undergraduate majoring in interdisciplinary social sciences, read a quote from education expert Bill Ayers. Ayers is the former Weather Underground member whose casual acquaintance with Barack Obama was made a campaign issue by the John McCain campaign. Kausen said that the country needs to reclaim the country's original idea of public education.
Public school education was originally created in order to ensure democracy. When Thomas Jefferson first conceived of it, he wanted to have an educated public to rule their own country. And the goals within education have gone away from that ideal into competing with other countries, competing with each other, and that focus may need to be shifted in order to see real change during the Obama presidency.
Cynthia Smith is a master's student in Africana Studies who brought up the example of soldiers re-enlisting in the military because there are few jobs available and how military benefits might improve under an Obama administration.
Barack Obama mentioned that he wants to change it so that the benefits not only help the military the husband or the wife that's in the military, but also their dependents, which would help with the spouse or either the children.
Dawood Sultan suggested that there's no way for Obama to carry out the transformation he has talked about without reaching out to a broader social movement that demands change.
Washington is recalcitrant. It is too strong. It's full of lobbying bodies, and it doesn't change that quickly. It doesn't change that fast. I believe a threatening social movement is needed to back up the president, so that Congress people in power would know that if they refuse to do the people's will, basically they would have hell to pay at some point, and through basically being voted out.
Saying we are optical illusion, we are not as we seem.
Thursday's discussion concluded with a spoken word performance by Reginald Eldridge, a master student in Africana studies, who compared the fame of Obama to the invisibility of others. The USF Africana Studies Department and Institute on Black Life plan several events in the spring, including a panel discussion on The End of Racism, Martin Luther King, Barack Obama, and the Politics of Hope on January 21st. You can learn more about these groups by following the links on our website, wmnf.org/news. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canaan.